It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 7th of September 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirawa. I'm Chris Walker, and on Saturday the 7th of September, I spoke to departing local board member Jim Hannon, opinionated Islanders Alan Knight and Alex Stone, and we revisited the fiery swearing-in ceremony of the 2010 inaugural Waiheke Local Board. We're heading into election time, and I thought it was a good opportunity to find out a little more as we're selecting and choosing who to give our votes to in the coming election, to reflect on what's involved in the role. And so I'm joined by Jim Hannon, who has been on the first Waiheke Local Board and has determined not to stand for the next election. How are you, Jim?
Very well, thank you, Chris.
Excellent. So am I right in noticing that you've got a bit more of a spring in your step in the last few weeks, Jim?
Quite possibly, because I'm also going down to around 25 hours at Fuller's there, so I'll have a bit more time on my hands, that's for sure.
Excellent. So,
And I've got myself a new e-bike.
Oh, very good. Yeah, biking around the Esplanade, one hopes.
One is indeed. It's great.
Yeah, good stuff. Now, when you went into this, I mean, this was the first local board. We'd had community boards before, but this is quite a different animal.
It was.
I mean, when you put your hand up for election, I mean, I suppose it'd be interesting to find out what you thought you were getting into, and what the reality was, if that was different.
Well, I'd had some experience in politics in Western Australia with the Liberal Party there, so I had some idea what we were getting into, but certainly the bringing together of eight existing councils was quite confronting for all of us, I'd suggest.
So what about the actual role on the board? I mean, what were your expectations of that, and did it kind of line up with what actually happened?
I think right from the start I knew it would be time-consuming, and I was lucky having an employer that let me do whatever was required. That was fantastic. But very often it was definitely a full-time type job dealing with the various plans involved and bringing the all the new city together. And also on this island we are very lucky that we've had many people who've had previous lives, and they all want to contribute to this community in their own way. So it is a great thing to happen, but at times it's also quite confronting.
It seems almost, you know, with the amount of work involved and the pay involved, that it almost becomes something that only the wealthy, retired or unemployed can actually aspire to.
Well, to a degree, that might be it. Yeah, I think it is. It can be done if you're running another job, but it is difficult, and you're facing up to certainly 70, 80 hours a week, and or more than that, you're facing up to 7 days a week.
Right. So there was a huge amount of work involved, and obviously, there's been a number of contentious issues throughout the time on the board.
Some of those contentious issues, the local boards have absolutely no power. So that's something you're confronting as well. So you are taking perhaps the brickbats from the community without any power to confront the issues involved.
So, I mean, what are the things that you believe someone needs to bring into the board to be an effective board member?
I think you need to be fairly focused on what you want, but you also need to be aware that if you're a single issue person, you will be extremely disappointed, because at the end of the day, the things that the board does have the power in are the basics, like your footpaths and your roads and things like that. And certainly we've been able to do something in the sporting areas as well, but there are some areas that get into the resource management area that we have absolutely no power in. So I think just an awareness of what powers the board might have and an ability to work with all sectors of the community, and also an ability to work with our councillor on the Gulf Islands ward and other councillors that you might meet from time to time, regardless of what your politics or their politics are.
Now, as I said, there's been a number of issues, you know, probably particularly the marina, the Esplanade, the golf course, you know, the whole Rangihaua Reserve, where there's been incredible division in the community.
Yep.
You know, how's that affected you as a board member?
Well, I think you've got to respect every person's views, so I respect people's views, and you try to act in an even-handed manner. That's about it. You need to respect all views, but at the same time, try your very best to act in an even-handed manner.
So, I mean, if you go back to, I suppose, this even the swearing-in ceremony, which was an eventful day, did you sit there thinking, jeepers, what have I got myself into?
No, I knew exactly what I got myself into.
Right. Yes. So, why the decision to walk away now?
I have many friends overseas. I've got plenty of friends in New Zealand, and when I first stood, it was ideally to be a one-term proposition. And most of the things that I have wanted have come to pass. The big public swimming pool sadly hasn't happened, but hopefully will one day. And I do believe we'll get squash courts hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years. So many of the things I wanted have happened, and it's been a very good experience.
Now, I recall that at the time of election, one of the things that you wanted to be able to deliver for the island, you know, was a focus on jobs and employment.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, is that something that you feel you have been able to address, or has that just turned out to be something that's beyond the board?
No. I think as long as the board is business friendly, tourism friendly, we've already seen a growth in jobs. And when I ask around in the community, I believe those jobs are better paying than they were even a couple of years ago. So we are developing. We've still got a fair way to go, but no, there has been progress. And you would know yourself that this last summer for tourism was absolutely superb, for business was absolutely superb, and the winter has got better and better, and we're seeing things like the buy locally, which I absolutely support, and try my best to buy locally wherever possible. Sadly, I'm not able to buy a decent pair of slacks or shoes on the island. I'd do that as well if I could.
And what are the areas that you feel that the board hasn't been able to deliver on? You know, the things that perhaps that you'd hoped to achieve that haven't come through. I mean, you talked about the swimming pool before, but what other areas do you feel that perhaps we've either not been able to reach that point that we'd hoped to, or otherwise, you know, maybe you're a bit of a disappointment with how things turned out?
To be honest, I'm overly pleased with what has been achieved. I mean, I can't say much more than that. Overall, I'm relatively happy with what's been achieved, and working with our local councillor as well has been a great pleasure. Being on the golf forum has been great, and I've met some lovely people like Councillor Des Morrison, who sadly again is standing down this term, but I've met some lovely people.
Yes, and what about the state of politics on the island?
Oh, I think it's as it's always been, feisty. It's great.
Yes, but you won't miss it, though.
I will think from time to time, yeah, what it was like, and I fully intend to be interested in the golf forum going forward, and I'll attend things like that, and I will ride my bike and hopefully get a nice code of conduct going for shared roads on the island. So things like that I'll certainly keep a big interest in.
Do you think there's any issues that you might take a different position on now that you're not kind of part of that decision-making body and, you know, not kind of bound up in those processes?
Oh, possibly. quite possibly, but we'll see going forward.
All right. Well, look, thanks very much for your time, Jim, and thank you very much for the service.
Okay, Chris, just one other thing I would like for all those that are standing, I think it's absolutely fantastic you are putting your foot forward for this community. I applaud you all, and whether you get in this time or not, it's great that you are standing, and hopefully if you don't get in this time, you'll put your foot forward again next time. So all the very best to every single one of you.
All right, thanks very much.
Okay, see ya.
That's Jim Hannon, a local board member who is not standing again for this year's election, giving his reflections on the last 3 years in the role.
Wakey Radio.
It's the first Saturday of the month. I'm joined, and this time it's working, I'm joined in the studio by Alan Knight and Alex Stone.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, we had a little microphone problem there, but now we're on.
Yes, you managed to shut me up, just for a moment there.
Yeah, a terrible thing for Alan not to have a microphone.
I only managed to do it with technical assistance, though. So, it's election time, so
goodness,
what else is there to talk about? Now, we've got a number of campaigns rolling out. Number of candidates, you know, some campaigning very hard, some campaigning less so. So I thought it'd be interesting.
Some not campaigning at all.
Well, yeah, I thought it'd be interesting to take a look at, you know, how the campaigning is going, and you know, who's making an impression, who's got it wrong.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, where should we start?
Well, you can start wherever you like. Let's start off with, who are the people you think are doing a good job of campaigning, and why?
I suppose the first thing is those who've got billboards up. You know,
that's definitely a
good
start. Of
the list, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 who don't have any billboards at all. So I don't know if that's a good start or not.
I'd say the best work so far that I can see being done is by Sherrin Brown. She really hasn't put a foot wrong. Very tidy, well thought out campaigning. I'd say the same for the essentially Waiheke team, but I think that they were maybe a little bit let down by the sudden addition. Once the billboards had gone up, they suddenly added John Mewson to the lineup, and his photograph had to be sort of rather awkwardly tacked onto the billboards. That didn't create the best possible impression, I feel.
Well, it kind of created the idea that not only the photos, but the candidate was awkwardly tacked on, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that really didn't look that professional, which is a shame, because I think in all other respects, the essentially Waiheke team are doing fine. I mean, they were out in the freezing cold the other night downtown.
Yeah,
At the ferry. Mm. I came in on the 4 o'clock boat. They were there, and I left on the 7:15, and they were still there. Mm. So working very hard on it. Went down to the market this morning. There they all are again, getting out and about, and they seem to be getting a really good response.
Oh, good on them. I think it's worth a decent opposition, say, to the A team. Yeah. So
what do we think of the A team campaign? Well, they've got their billboards up.
They've got the billboards up, but there was always going to be this question from 3 years ago when they disastrously mishandled their first week or so after the election, and there was obviously that huge uproar and a lot of public anger about the way they handled it. Not only from people who didn't vote for them and found their initial behaviour to be disturbing, but also for a lot of people who had voted for them and found, myself included, found ourselves going, whoa.
What did you vote for? But I reckon they should
have. What on earth is going on here? So I said at the time that, you know, because they definitely chose 3 years ago not to address any of those issues. And so I mentioned at the time that in 3 years' time, you're going to have to come down to street level again and talk to us.
Yeah.
And then things are going to get interesting. But, of course, they haven't, because the A-team are completely inaccessible.
They're not
out campaigning.
Yeah, that thing about 3 years ago, I thought they could have even used it as one of their election planks this time. You know, they could have said, we're the guys that will fast-track your political career. If you're in opposition to us, we'll shaft you and suddenly you'll become an MP. It'll be a quick... That would be quite an interesting angle, wouldn't it?
Here's what Ms. DR of Surfdale had to say. The A-Team fast-tracked my political career.
Yeah, the A-Team did wonders.
I started off just as a local councillor. Now I'm in Parliament. Thank you, A-Team.
Yeah.
So, Alex, who have you seen out and about on the streets?
I met the essentially Waiheke candidates on the ferry the other day, and but yeah, that's about it. I haven't seen any of the others, no.
Well, Sharon Brown, of course, was campaigning quite hard at my house last night over a few beers.
Oh, well, that's the best way of campaigning.
It was, yes, very good.
But I think imagine one gets more and more lucid as the beers go down.
She did. She was rather preaching to the converted. I don't know if I rather feel that Sharon Brown is probably making the most professional job of campaigning at the moment. She looks solid. She looks very smart.
Yeah, she is very smart.
She is very smart,
she's
good,
yeah.
We've got a number of other candidates.
Yes, there are... Some fascinating candidates, of course. There is Richard Melville, who I was very surprised to see his name pop up in the first place.
Yeah, it popped up very late, didn't it?
I've known Richard for many years, and I've never heard him express any opinion on politics whatsoever.
I found him pretty neutral on politics, actually.
I mean, you know, if you want a choral society directing, definitely
he's the man.
If you come over all dead, he's definitely the go-to guy to go and see. As a local politician, I'm not sure I quite... see what he's playing at. The only theory I can come up with is that somebody's entered his name as a prank without telling him, and he's actually unaware that he's been entered as a candidate.
To be honest, he has been responding to the questions in the Golf News.
But he hasn't got any billboards up.
Yeah,
maybe he's going to have singing billboards. The Choral Society could sing for him.
That's a good idea.
That'd be quite a nice one.
Now, I understand Richard doesn't live on the island, is that right?
No.
He has a place here, but he doesn't live here permanently.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know we've had candidates in the past who don't even live on the island, and they've gone down to crashing defeat, as is correct. But I think Richard Melville's involvement with the island was sufficiently long-standing that he would have a certain amount of credibility.
Yeah, I think he has.
And enough people know him as a decent chap.
Yeah.
But
is
that really enough to want to vote him onto the board?
Yeah. So there are a couple of other candidates who perhaps don't have the resources, you know, say Ross Gillespie, Graham Hooper, who don't have those resources. So what does it take for them to run an effective campaign?
Well, I mean, for a start, with Ross Gillespie, I think if you're going to run a political campaign, it helps if you don't live in a tree, because here's a guy who is completely off the grid. he apparently lives... Nobody actually knows where he lives. It's somewhere in Rocky Bay, and I suspect it's in a tree, because he has no phone line, no internet access. He's not connected into things like social media or anything like that. As one wag pointed out, the only way that you can really actually get Ross Gillespie's view on anything, if you want to find him, is move a boundary peg somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly he'll appear as if by magic.
That's what I was going to say. If you wanted to meet Ross, put your foot, walk along a public walkway and step off, or do something naughty on a public walkway. And you'll find
or alternatively, just drive your car down the road and pick him up, because he's always hitchhiking. If you want to know Ross Gillespie's view on anything, give him a lift.
I've done that, actually.
Yeah.
It might be an effective way of campaigning. I picked him up the other day and I got the spiel, so... Maybe that's his, you know, if Richard Melville's got the singing billboards, Ross has got the hitchhiking one-on-one approach.
Yes.
But he's not going to reach many people that way.
Well, no, but it is a very, you know, it's a very personalised approach.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
But now there's another, let's go through what other candidates we've got. Graham Hooper.
Graham, he couldn't come on the show today because he's going to the market to campaign.
I didn't see him there, but I must rush back down.
He's run two or three times before, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Usually
to, muted response.
He was sort of polling in the lose your deposit range, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, shame.
Do you get your deposit back? Somebody was asking me that the other day.
If you get a certain number of votes, you do.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's ever got his deposit back.
It's to stop, you know, vexatious candidacies.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're none this time around. I think they're all committed people. They're all, you know, people with... I don't think we have any real joke candidates.
Now, what about Sue McCann? Another, you know, potentially a wild card in the election?
Yes.
What about her campaigning?
I think we still need to hear a little more about Sue McCann. She ran in the last by-election. That was her first go.
I thought she was in the last full election. Was
no,
it just the by-election?
No, it's just the by-election.
Okay, gotcha.
Around. She's made the point quite clearly that she did submit against the Marina development. That's good. I mean, brownie points there. From my own personal view, I'm a little worried about her stance on the street traders issue. This is an issue which really gets me furious, and I wasn't actually quite happy with her response on that one. She seems to be rather anti-street traders, and I don't feel she's distanced herself sufficiently from the A-team.
That's an interesting one, yeah.
There was that awkward photograph of her being sort of embraced by the A-team, and there's this awkward body language. Get away from me, don't put your arm around me.
But aren't you assuming a bit much, assuming the A-team are the bad guys? Or you seem to be heading that way.
I'm afraid so, yes. I mean, I really admire the way Chris and his colleagues here at the radio station keep their journalistic integrity.
You don't have any.
I don't. I was trying to have some, but I think this hysterical vendetta against the street traders, that my even-handedness has gone out of the window. I'm furious about that. It's a question I'd love to have asked Jim Hannon, for a candidate who went on and on and on about how it's all about jobs at the last election. How do you feel as one of your last achievements on the board was a mean-spirited and pointless vendetta aimed at putting a couple of guys out of work? Nice going.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm getting annoyed here. Let's move away from the street traders
You've got to assess the achievements of the A-team. They talk about their three A's, and one of them is achievements.
Yes, achievements. Well, creating the most divided political climate the island's ever seen, certainly since I've been here.
Well, do you think so? I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, you know, there's always been, even in the days of the community board, there was definitely kind of a feeling that there was kind of an anti-developer, pro-developer divide on the board.
Do you remember the first big house at Matietia? That was quite a divided scene. And the issue around the sports club not moving from the Esplanade, they were quite divisive issues.
Yeah, I suppose they were.
There was a protest march over that one.
I suppose the thing is that this term, that, you know, the 2010 to now term, has coincided with all us middle-aged folk getting onto social media.
Well, I'd like to move on to that, because
the uncooling of Facebook,
you know, as well as the kind of assessing the effectiveness of the various campaigns the candidates are rolling out. I mean, you know, as well as their own initiatives through the billboards and getting out on the streets and leafleting and so on. Of course, we also look to the media and increasingly social media as a way of finding out what the candidates think. So, you know, how is it going in terms of being able to explore and discover what these candidates actually stand for?
I was impressed with the Vision Waiheke website. Pretty flash.
It is, yeah. Very nice. Waiheke.
Essentially Waiheke.
That is really
Bex
nice.
Bex Ballard obviously got involved with that. She's got apparently IT skills, and I was very impressed with it, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then, of course, there is Joe Holmes' blog, which is lively, to say the least. There's only so much of it you can read without kind of wanting to go out and sit in the sunshine for a little bit and get the muck off you. Yeah, but it's quite funny that there's this same three or four people, every time she posts this one of her angry diatribes, the same three or four people all chime in immediately going, "Oh, absolutely, yes, you're absolutely right, and how dare anyone criticise you?" Quite sad.
One thing Jo is very good at, one must give credit where credit is due, she's very good as a quiz master. She runs, you know, like when you do like pub quizzes. And
she's
things.
Even better as a pub quiz contestant. Jo Holmes is one of the most ferocious triv competitors I've ever seen.
Yeah. So maybe she should run her campaign as a sort of quiz approach. Let me tell you, the trivia angle, and then you get
ask her a trivia question. She's absolutely brilliant.
And then you'd get away from a diatribe approach.
Well,
know?
True. Yes. Yeah. Do we get to ask her any political questions apart from online? Seems not.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, we've got those candidates who are running their own websites. We've got some of the candidates participating, say, on Facebook and other social media. What about the more established, you know, mainstream media coverage of the election?
I think the marketplace obviously have decided to sit this one out.
But I'm quite impressed.
But the Gulf News, yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed with
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, the way they're posing the questions and the way they're giving, you know, equal space to each of the candidates, I think it's working well.
Because I think the Gulf News really let themselves down badly at the last election. Their coverage was very flimsy indeed. It was like they didn't really want to create any controversy. Which, I mean, you've got to be able to. You're a newspaper, for heaven's sake. There's got to be a bit of controversy.
And it's Waiheke, yeah. We've always got some. Yeah.
But it seems like this time, they must have looked back at 3 years ago and thought, yeah, we didn't actually do a very good job there. So they seem to be picking up their game a little this time around. It's good to see.
There's a funny little that blue column on page 16 this week where they had to explain that their paraphrasing of the question wasn't actually...
Yes.
That seems a bit funny, but anyway, at least that was clarified.
Because some people were trying to wriggle out of answering the question clearly and saying, oh, well, you know, it was...
Is that what you reckon?
Yeah, it was phrased wrongly, and that's why my reply to it was a bit ambiguous. It's good, though, that the Gulf News are going to get a bit more involved this time around, because I find myself fascinated by those people who are not following this that closely. The people whose ballot papers will turn up in the post and they'll sort of go, oh, right, yes, an election. And they'll tick the first five candidates.
Yeah.
Or not realise that they get five votes and just vote for one person. Or...
Well, there's
maybe even just forget to fill it in and it ends up in the recycling. And
well, there's a prediction it's going to be a very low turnout across Auckland this time round.
Yeah, well, I think I was saying last month, I think there's going to be between 10 and 15% lower turnout this time around. I still reckon Waiheke will do its usual thing of having the highest turnout.
Yeah.
But I can see there'll be a drop this time around.
There was a letter in the Herald this morning by someone saying it's evident there's no interest in this local body election because none of the posters in Auckland have been vandalised yet. So that's...
Yes.
So the
statistics... So maybe if we vandalised a few posters on Waiheke, we'd get some action.
Well, I was looking at the statistics on this the other day, and what tends to happen is, you know, you get the highest percentage of people vote for mayor. There's a significant drop-off to councillor, and then an even more significant drop-off to local board, except on Waiheke, local board vote remains high.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Good on us.
Yeah.
I still reckon it'll drop back a little bit because there was a novelty factor to last time. Yeah. And this time I think there'll be 10 or 15% of people who go, oh, it's just politics as usual. I
like
can't be bothered
sort of
this time.
That when it went to the wire last time, you know, there was just a half a dozen votes that separated the last few candidates.
Oh, there was, yes. Well, that was hence the recount for Andy Spence.
That's right.
He trailed Jim Hannon by 5 votes.
Yeah, wasn't that
so
amazing?
So it was definitely worth a recount, but apparently it was the vote was accurate.
It was 5, yeah. Would there be close votes this time round?
Well, I think it's not so much about whether it'll be close votes. It's more about where that enormous block of votes that went to Denise Roche last time are going to land.
Not to the A team, I don't think.
Well, it would be hard to suggest it would. Denise Roche polled something like 2,225 votes.
That's right, yeah.
The only candidate to actually go over the 2,000 vote threshold.
Yeah. And the rest were in the 1,200 range, weren't they?
No, the next one was there was a drop of about 500 votes to Faye Stora next.
Ah, so she was...
Now, Faye Stora, it seems to me, is going to definitely take a hit this time, because a lot of people thought they were voting for the old Faye Stora, and instead they got the new one, which is a bit scary, you know, Stora 2.0. So yeah, you're just looking up my rant on this.
2,239 for Denise Roche.
Yes.
Faye Stora 1,845.
So that's, you know, that is a very, very substantial block of votes right there. Now those votes are still drifting around, and who's going to grab them?
Well, also you've got significantly less candidates this time, or fewer candidates. Sorry.
So the chances of at least a couple of candidates getting over the 2,000 threshold is quite strong. My guess at this stage, I think if anyone can pull that off, it's going to be Beetle Treadwell.
Yeah, I think so too. I was about to say the two candidates that kind of fit the space that Denise would have inhabited would be Beetle and Shuren.
Yes.
So let's go back to the media coverage, because you touched on this, Alan, but the marketplace just not covering this.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. If you look at Wednesday's edition of the marketplace, like nothing.
Yeah.
But there is some advertising.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, they're not going to turn the money down for the advertising. Mm. But actually putting out any opinions, no, it seems it's no longer their job.
It seems unusual, doesn't it, to, for the paper not to be covering.
Now, do any of the other Fairfax-owned local papers, are any of them
that,
getting involved?
That I don't know.
That would be an interesting one.
It is an interesting question. Are any of their other local papers doing election coverage?
Maybe it's a director.
Or are they doing the same thing and just leaving it alone?
Yeah, they're just doing community stuff like who's at... you know, feel-good stuff rather than political stuff.
Maybe
that's their directive, yeah. Which is a pity because it's most interesting stuff. I love to see the way Alan gets excited when there's a local body.
Yes. Oh, look,
every bloke's got to have a hobby, yeah.
Yes, exactly. I love this. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's terrific, yeah.
But I am fascinated by these people who don't take an interest.
Yeah, why would you?
And there are an awful lot of them.
Yeah.
I think there's maybe about 4,500 registered voters on Waiheke. A lot of people say, "Oh, but you know, there's 8,000 people here." Yeah, well, an awful lot of them are children.
Yeah,
who don't vote, and there's going to be a fair number of young people as well who simply never bothered to register to vote. So I think the figure is about 4,500.
Yeah, but you could never force people to vote, otherwise you get the Australian issue.
Where you're obliged to.
They call it the donkey vote.
Yeah. There was a wonderful phrase came up because I tend to spend my time hanging around with people who are, me, fascinated by the whole process.
Yeah.
I do find it strange that there are people who say, "Oh, is there an election? Oh, yeah. I didn't realise that." Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw a billboard the other day.
What's the thing that fascinates you the most? Is it the thing about dreams being proposed and withering, or is it the characters involved? Or
for me, politics has just always been fascinating. Yeah. But there was this lovely thing that came up yesterday on Facebook in a discussion about... candidates and apathy and things like that, and it was Daniel Duffy who coined this magnificent phrase, frothing voters.
You might be one of those.
Definitely a frothing voter. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant phrase, and I think it's a term that needs to be in wider use in Waiheke politics. I'm a frothing voter. I'm frothing.
Well, it'd be interesting to see which of the candidates would get the frothing vote.
Well, it's going to be the more left-leaning Green candidates. Yeah. This is, you know, the that Denise Roche vote from last time. That's your frothing voter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few voters frothing in the other direction, but will it be enough? I don't think so.
What is also interesting about the range of candidates, they're none that represent the sort of nouveau side of Waiheke, the gated community side of Waiheke. They're none... There are no candidates
Well, that would mean opening the gates and coming out. I think the whole point about going and living in gated communities is you don't have to involve yourself with anything else. So why would you be standing in for politics?
Because there was an attempt early on in the campaign to contact people who were non-residents and suggest who they vote for.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I thought was quite interesting because obviously that was on behalf of the A team. There was that quite interesting approach that somebody took. There's 175 registered voters who not resident here.
Is that all?
Yes, it's not a large number.
That's interesting.
And I think it was probably a shame for them that it came out that there was that approach being made because it did look rather desperate.
Yeah, don't really need them, eh?
But then again, you know, if you look at the numbers, I think anything's going to help as far as the A team are concerned. They must realise they're facing a big struggle to try and stay in power.
That's an interesting one. Do you really believe that? I think I do.
I know. I think like a lot of people, I was fairly pessimistic to begin with. Yeah. But no, I'm out and about and talking to lots of people, and I think the A-team are in trouble here.
Yeah, what was interesting to me this morning, I was just imagining the board in a few months' time with the five candidates, and if only one of the A-team survives, would that be the right sort of balance? And
well, I mean, we now live in the reality in which if you've got three people on the board, you control the board.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because it would have been nicer to see a board that functioned the way we were promised it was going to function.
So that shouldn't happen again. There shouldn't be a bloc that controls it.
Well, no, I think it's always going to be like that.
You think so? Yeah. Well, if there was...
You think the ground's shifted?
Yeah, it has, and it's a great shame.
One A-teamer, two from the you know, the essentially Waiheke and a couple of independents.
Well, okay, here's another another thing that makes me think quite optimistically now, as far as, you know, deposing our incumbent local board. I was taken to task this morning at the market for my comments last month that the bedrock of the A-team support was the golf club and the Rotary Club.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes, somebody had a go at me this morning. You know, they're not all just landed gentry down there, you know. There's mm-hmm. a lot of, what was the phrase you used, bogan builders and people like that. And
at
you know,
the golf club.
Not necessarily, just necessarily right-leaning voters. So, all right, yeah, I'll accept that. There are, and I've given talks to the Rotary Club, and there's some awfully nice people down mm-hmm. there who you can't imagine wanting to see the island get wrecked by developers. But there again, this is the problem. If you're trying to define the A-team's vote, and try and put some kind of face to it, that was the first thing I could come up with. And if I can't use those, well, damned if I can see where their support really is.
Mm. So looking forward,
it's
in
not
the,
big,
in the,
and it's not out there.
So looking forward in the campaign, you know, we've still got a wild run. We've got another 2 weeks before the voting papers come out,
yeah.
And then there's a 3 week period there while people contemplate that and get them in. So what do you want to see happen in terms of the campaign and so forth?
Public meetings. Forward? Unquestionably, we had two particularly good ones last time around. There was the Gulf News organised one at the Morrow Hall, and I forget who organised the one at the Ostend Hall.
Yeah.
Wasn't very well attended compared with the Morrow Hall one, but it was still very, very good. All the candidates turned out.
That was the one where Jo Holmes wasn't invited and she arrived anyway. Do you remember that?
Was she?
Yeah, there was a lovely drama about that. Yeah.
The thing that really stuck in my mind from that particular meeting at the Ostend Hall was John Stansfield's reintroduction of the word ninny into political discourse on the island.
Ninny, what a lovely
word. The candidate at whom it was addressed, I thought he was going to choke. I can't believe he called me that.
That's a terrible thing.
Yeah, so we've asked the Gulf News if they're what they're planning, but we haven't had a response.
Yeah, I think that's
a great idea. That's a shame, because I think that would be unbelievably fascinating. I couldn't wait to get along and see a meeting of all the candidates, assuming that you know, some of them will actually show up.
And I suppose at this point we can probably make a little plug for what we're doing here at Waiheke Radio. So we've recorded candidate statements from most candidates. There are still a few to be recorded. We're still to record statements from Ross Gillespie, Richard Melville and Graham Hooper.
Right.
But we're endeavouring to do that, and we'll do that as soon as we can.
The one from Ross Gillespie would be a bit like that movie Avatar, where you go and plug into the, you know, plug your tail into the tree. If we're following,
I'm sure he's got some very fine opinions to give, and we'll be very happy to broadcast them. So we'll be doing
will
that.
Will he be able to keep it down to 2 minutes, though?
Well, you know, actually, all of the candidates have done a very good job of that. They're well worth a listen, hearing, you know, in their own words, straight from the source. And then we'll be following that up with longer interviews over the next couple of weeks. We hope to get all of those done by the time the voting papers come out. But, you know, 12 interviews is quite a few. But we'll get there.
Yeah, that'd good be on great. You for doing it.
Yeah, so yeah, you can check all of that out on our website. And also, at the moment, we're broadcasting those two-minute statements at 9 o'clock in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon, plus a later afternoon slot, and they're just kind of rotating through. So you don't know who you're going to hear, but you'll get a couple of chances to
hear those. I think your work is going to be cut out for you, because if Alan, you know, if Alan and the frothing voters are dead certs, they're going to be their boots and all. But what about the non-frothing voters? How do we get through to them?
I think that there needs to be a great
big word for them.
There needs to be a great big billboard up saying, if you're not frothing, you're not paying attention.
You should be frothing.
Yes. Yes. Spoken, I'm frothing, like a, why aren't you?
Spoken like a true brewmaster.
Exactly.
All right, so you see the opinionated islanders, Alan Knight and Alex Stone. By the time we talk next time, it'll be all but done.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have a lot more to say about how it's
well, we'll be able to
all over bar the shouting, and there will be a lot of shouting.
Yes.
So, right? Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes, I think the shouting has barely even begun.
Yeah
well, perhaps we should do a special one election day.
Yeah. Can we?
Yeah, I think we can.
Yeah.
We could do something, you know,
that'd be fantastic.
Early evening.
The big mission would be to get
everyone
up to the level of frothing.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, because, well, you know, votes are kind of out by, you know, late afternoon, early evening.
Yes. So it's usually about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, isn't it? They usually...
Well, Let's do that.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
What the hell? Yeah. Not surfing here on a wave of froth.
Lots to talk about at that stage. Yeah,
good stuff. All right, opinion of the Islanders.
That would be between now and the new board's inauguration.
Mm. Yeah, I think he wants to get rid of us, Alan.
I do. So this opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight and Alex Stone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem. Lovely.
And they'll be back with us on the first Saturday of next month and on Election Day.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Because we're coming to the election, I thought it was worthwhile looking back at the swearing in of the first local board. A historic moment, a new body that came out of the amalgamation of all of those councils into the super city. And it was a very emotional and fiery event, as you'll hear. So what you're going to hear now is a little documentary we've put together about the swearing in of the first Waiheke local board. In 2010, the Auckland region's many local bodies were amalgamated into one super city under a new local body, Auckland Council. All of Auckland came under the governance of one mayor, 20 councillors across 13 wards and 21 local boards. The election for the new Waiheke local board was hard fought, with 17 candidates standing for the 5 board positions. When the final votes came in, Denise Roche, Faye Storer, Joe Holmes, Don McKenzie and Jim Hannum were elected. Denise Roche had many more votes than the next highest polling candidate, Faye Storer, who, however, had the support of the majority of the board to take the role of chair. In the lead-up to the swearing-in ceremony, there was fierce debate on the issue in the community. On the day, Ostend Hall was packed to capacity and beyond, with hundreds inside and more outside listening to the proceedings. The meeting was presided over by the new mayor, Len Brown, and the new council's CEO. The atmosphere was electric, with placards heckling and raised emotion, although at one point the mayor was heard to utter that it was awesome. Our coverage begins with the swearing-in of Denise Roche. She had been Waiheke's councillor in the Auckland City Council in the period leading up to the amalgamation. She was also the only one of the 5 board members who chose to give a speech in addition to swearing her oath.
I'd now like to call up Denise Roche.
He honere he ke rori a ki te atua, he maungaronga ki te whenua, he whakaaro pai ki nā tangata katoa. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Ki nā tangata whenua, Glenn, raukau, George, tērā, tēnā korua. Ki nā rangatira Nui, tērā, Len, tēnā koe. Nā rangatira Cathy, Rauko Mike, tēnā korua. Ki ngā whānau o te motu tēnei, my family. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Making my declaration today is nothing less than an honour. I'm mindful of the fact that this is a historical moment for our city and for our community. Without you, all of you, our community, we would not have a local board to swear in today. It was your work, it was our work, that ensured Waiheke and Great Barrier, the smallest communities in a super city of 1.4 million people, ensured that we got our own local boards into the legislation. That's in the law. None of the other 19 local boards have that. You did it.
Thank you.
You did it. We did it. We did it together. So I, for one, in the next 3 years, will work very hard to make sure our board is accountable to you. And therefore I make my declaration. And I will try and make my declaration in the beautiful, beautiful official language of New Zealand. Ka au a Denise Roach, ko tāku kupu tēnei, ka tutuki I a au, ki tāku I pono nei, e tōtika nei I mātau nei nā kawinga katoa, hei painga mō te rohe, o Waiheke I runga I te mana kua riro mai, I a au hei mema o Waiheke kānga, a rohe paore, runanga I raro ano I te ture kawanata, Kawanatanga arohe o te taurua mano marua, te turi pārongo huinga o kawa a kawanatanga me etahi atu ture, ture rane. And in English, I, Denise Roach, declare that I will faithfully and impartially and according to the best of my skill and judgment, execute and perform in the best interests of Waiheke, the powers, authorities and duties vested in or imposed upon me as a member of the Waiheke Local Board by virtue of the Local Government Act 2002, the Local Government Official Information and Meetings Act 1987 or any other act. Tēnā koutou katoa.
Following the swearing-in, the next agenda item was the election of a board chair.
Now forced to me to call for nominations from the local board for the role of chair. And I would like to ask if there are nominations, please.
I nominate Faye Storer.
I second that nomination.
Thank you.
I nominate Denise Roach myself.
If there's a seconder for the nomination of Denise Roach, please, from the board.
Yes. Yes. Shame. 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 Shame.
Shame. Please, please.
Shame.
Please. There being no seconder, the nomination lapses. And I would like to move the motion that Faye Storer be appointed the chairperson. Could I ask all those in favour to say aye?
No! 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 No!
All those against?
No.
Yes!
I'm now able to appoint and congratulate Faye Storer on being appointed the chair of the Waiheke Local Board.
After the election, Mayor Len Brown spoke, directly addressing the tension and division in the meeting.
I mostly want to be here today as the new mayor for all of Auckland, to be with you, to make this commitment that I stand with you. I was elected as the community guy, the guy that maybe could stand with the community and bring us together and have the very best shot of leading a council of 20. And I've got to say to you, you've sent into the council 20 great people, all with strong community hearts. That the start has thus far been good and collaborative, maybe against most everyone's expectations. but that I was the guy that maybe could sit in the middle of that all and bring us together and give Auckland the very best chance of delivering out on our hopes and our aspirations and give our young people the right to dream without any constraint around those dreams. So the board's role is critical. This uniting will not happen to a great degree of success unless the boards deliver and keep close to their communities, and we in the council and I as the mayor keep close to the board. So every month I'll meet with the 21 board chairs as a start, and I'll make sure that I'm listening. And to you all, and the first, and the board members, in the first year, we will have three monthly plenaries, an opportunity for us to sit, listen, talk, and understand how it's going. We'll do that in the first year so that we make sure we get the very best sync between how our community's feeling and how we're going. So, to you all, I haven't quite worked out. Are we Waihekians or Waihetians? See, perfect. No agreement. So do you great islanders. It is fabulous to be here today. And I'm just really proud and honoured that you've chosen me as your mayor. You gave me out of this island a thumping majority. You didn't vote for me as strong as you voted for Mike, which I'm bloody annoyed with, actually. But that's to be expected. There's only about 20 who voted against him in Great Barrier, and so we're hunting them down, aren't we, Mike? I want to acknowledge Mike. I also see Cathy Casey here, and also Richard Northey as councillors on the board. Please give them all a great hand. And you've been hosted here, and the initial leadership in this meeting was given by our new Chief Executive Officer. And Doug's relatively new to local government, and so he would have been relatively new to the sentiment in the room today. And so you've given a very, very fine baptism into the real sense of what local is about in local government. And I think he's come through it okay. He's actually started quite well also. And from my observation of the many thousands who are employed in the Auckland Council, there is a good, firm, solid feeling of commitment and positivism about our council staff, and they need to have this. You know they've been through hell. There's been some real changes and some difficulties for our people. So put your hands together for Doug and his leadership thus far. So, you've got a singing mayor. And I cannot stand, really, and conclude this in this great hall here in Ostend without asking you to join with me. A song that is sung frequently by Māori, but it is appropriate here today because this is historic. You know, the opportunity for Waiheke to really step out, a real empowered board, and hopefully a mayor who turns up here without having brick bats and tomatoes thrown at him every time. And so, a Whakaria Mai is a song that is sung as a hymn, but it's also a paean of praise and hope. And the song that was sung earlier, Te Aroha, is about hope and it's about trust and faith. And I sung that at the inauguration, but the song that I most love for us as a community to sing is Whakaria Mai. If you don't know it, you can hum it because it's the song that Sir Howard Morrison sang to such awesome effect in the St. James, which we're getting back. Yeah. Those many years ago, and this is a song of my love for this island, Shan and I have a very close affiliation to this place. We've been here on so many occasions and spent so many great, great hours, days, weeks here. And we will continue to. You will see us around.
After the swearing-in ceremony, I spoke to Denise Roche, Faye Storer, and Mayor Leanne Brown. I'm talking to Denise Roche, a member of the Waiheke Local Board, who's just participated in an emotional meeting, and an emotional first meeting of the local board, where we had the swearing-in of the board and the election of a chair. You received a strong, supportive response from many members of the community who were at the meeting, Denise. How did you feel about that support?
It's really very humbling to know that you actually don't stand alone. And it's a really good reminder to all of us that we're accountable to the entire community. So on a personal level, I was really blown away, actually.
You chose to not just make the swearing-in speech, the form speech, but to add your own flavour and to give a speech along with that. What prompted you to do that?
Well, I saw it done on Monday night at the inauguration of the councillors and the mayor, which was many councillors before they did their declaration actually said a few words. And I wanted to just acknowledge the fact that our entire community had worked so hard to get us our local board in the first place. And, you know, it's a moment in history. We are the only local boards, us and Great Barrier, that have our local boards enshrined in the legislation. The others came through with the Local Government Commission, but ours is in the Act.
The Mayor, Leanne Brown, called for some mending to occur in the community. What do you think needs to be done for the community to be able to move past this and have get behind the board so we can move forward in the way that we need to as an island?
I think what the community will be looking for is actions now, not just words. Today the business starts, so that means that all five board members actually have to be involved together in doing the budgets and doing the work. So I think the community's got to watch closely to see that happens. I certainly will be working to make sure that we're all working together. And what I've seen today is goodwill from each of the four other members.
Thanks very much, Denise. Faye Storer, Chair of the Waiheke Local Board. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chris.
So you've taken on a big responsibility. What do you see as the most important step for you, from now on in as Chair?
The work of the new local board is quite firmly conscribed from now. We have to prepare a local plan we have to get into it as soon as possible. We'll be able to see people. The draft is due out about March. I tell you, we are going to be running. And we'll be able to talk to the community about that as soon as possible.
This was a very emotional meeting. Was it hard for you?
No. I thought it was went well.
There was a strong sentiment expressed about the selection of chair from the people at the meeting. Surely that must have provoked some feeling.
Well, I think there were people here from both sides, and that's what you would expect if you want to talk about sides. Look, I've been an elected representative for 15 years, spent 9 years on council with three different mayors, chaired a major committee, have chaired many hearings where there have been up to 600 submitters. It's not something you want to do every day, but I've had no problem with it today. You just deal with it in a professional manner and take people's views on board.
There was, I suppose, from the feeling in the meeting and also from the speech from the Mayor, Leon Brown, a call to perhaps mend some of the rifts that are in the community at the moment. What steps do you believe need to be taken to move past some of the bad feeling that there is around the local board at the moment?
The board will be going into business meetings and workshops and public consultation as soon as possible. I think that's the best thing, just to get started.
Do you feel that having a meeting which had, you know, protest and that level of emotion as the first meeting, and is that a good precedent for how the board should go forward?
Oh, not at all.
So how do we move past that?
I think we move past it simply because we've got work to do. We've all got work to do, and now life moves on.
So no specific steps you have in mind to address some of the ill feeling?
We as a board are already working together. We've been going to civil defence workshops and technology workshops and briefings and things like that. So, you know, I'm confident that we'll just keep on moving.
What about beyond the board and with the greater community, you know, because it was many of them here today who were expressing some concern with how things have gone so far?
Well, I'm a great believer in the democratic process, and the process is being done exactly as it is required to do under the Local Government Act. One can do no more or less than follow the rules, and we have followed the rules.
Great, thank you, and once again, congratulations. Mayor Leon Brown, congratulations.
Thank you.
You've just participated in the inaugural meeting of the Waiheke Local Board. It was a fiery meeting.
Yes, an initiation into local politics, Waiheke style. It was fabulous.
Have any of the other local board meetings been along these lines?
We've had one or two contested chair positions. Nothing like the passion of Waiheke, though. I mean, special. And, you know, so long as you keep it in perspective, then it's just a democracy alive and well. It's fabulous.
You said in your speech, I mean, you addressed it directly, the need for there to be some mending of the rifts that are in the community around the recent election. What kind of things would you like to see taking place to move past that?
Look, I think that in democracy, when you've had elections, and even when they've been hard-fought and bitter, and certainly the one that I went through with John Banks was, the beauty of democracy is to accept the agreement or the final determination, and then be prepared to move on and show an acknowledgement of that essential part of the beauty of democracy, that is that, you know, we decide and then move. And I just ask that the community does that and sees that they have a board with five very passionate people, I think going to be a brilliant board, and that they encourage them to be the very best they can and not spend any further time in, you know, sort of dealing with the personalities behind it.
In the end, on Waiheke, I suppose, where people are in the political spectrum all falls under the shadow of parochialism. And what we really want to know is how much decision-making and what kind of powers will we have on our island?
Waiheke and Great Barrier and some of the boards like Franklin and Rodney are going to really benefit from the significant delegation of powers. I mean, just for an example, I was the mayor of Manukau, and the local boards under the delegations will have about 70 to 80%, I think, of the authority to deliver out local needs and local services that the local city council would have. So Waiheke will be significantly empowered. And I think that this is a great day for Waiheke. You know, you're going to have a board that's basically going to be determining and delivering most of the local services. That's fabulous.
You've been listening to the interviews and proceedings from the swearing-in ceremony of the first Waiheke Local Board in 2010. This has been presented and produced by Chris Walker for Waiheke Radio. You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onewarra.